Let's hear about your second patient, your 50-year-old lady.
Yes, okay. So this is a woman who started off her care at a community hospital. She was a never smoker, very healthy woman in her 40s at the time she presented, and she ended up having shortness of breath and on evaluation had a large lung mass. She also had a pericardial effusion at the time, and so there was concern that this might be lung cancer and it might be a malignant pericardial effusion, but she had that tapped and actually a window done, and all of the cytology and pathology from that were negative. The biopsy done of the lung lesion itself was positive for adenocarcinoma, actually had an EGFR L858R mutation. And because she was young and, you know, I think they were trying to be very optimistic, so they didn't consider her to be a stage 4 patient because of the effusion. They thought, let's try and give her a chance for cure and think of this as a stage 3 cancer.
Could I just ask, if that was the case, what would be the theorized pathophysiology of the effusion?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I think when I met her...
Wishful thinking, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I think, of course...
Or do you think like something mechanical could have caused it?
Yeah, maybe reactive, irritative. I don't really know. I think it was wishful thinking.
Yeah.
With that being said, though, now a few years later, she hasn't had a recurrence of any pericardial problem, but she did have a window placed.
That's interesting.
In any case, they treated her with curative intent, with radiation and EP5050 chemotherapy. She did well without complications, but just a few months, I believe it was 3 months after the end of that chemo radiation, she had some mild neurologic symptoms. They did a brain MRI, and she had multiple small brain metastases.
Could I just ask, I mean, it's always easy to look back in retrospect, but, you know, when you look back to this initial management, when she got the chemo radiation, they knew she had this EGFR mutation?
They knew by the time she came to me. I don't know where in the sequence of the radiation they found that out.
Well, but, let me just ask, if you had a patient like this and you knew they had an EGFR mutation, do you think somehow you would have integrated a TKI into that initial therapy or just go ahead with the chemo radiation?
You know, in her, I probably would have, because my sense when I looked back on her case was that she actually had stage 4 disease at presentation. So that's more clear cut. But in someone who really seems to truly have stage 3 disease, we don't have a lot of data to guide us. There are some clinical trials that have been trying to accrue patients from RTOG, integrating EGFR inhibitors into chemo radiation for stage 3, and they've been very, very slow to accrue. We do have some institutional experience at Mass General starting these patients off with 2 months of induction EGFR TKI, and I would say that experience has been very positive. We've actually been able to convert a couple of patients who seem to be inoperable stage 3s over to operable. And so that's something we hope to publicize in a more formal sense soon. But it's a very small number of patients, though.
So when you say institutional, is this a study or just something that you're kind of trying to do?
Yeah, no, we have a clinical trial going on just through a couple of the Harvard institutions in Boston. The results haven't been presented, but hopefully they will be soon. But it's really been hard to find patients that meet this criteria. And I think that's partly why the RTOG trial has also been very slow.
I guess if that's the case, I would guess the only reason is that people aren't getting tested because they must be out there, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think they must be out there. It also could be that patients with mutations, you know, because I know the adjuvant studies that are going on through the NCI, Alchemist, is having a hard time finding ALK and EGFR patients for their adjuvant studies as well.
Really?
Maybe that these patients are more likely to present with stage 4 disease. Could be something to do with the biology as well as the testing.
That's very interesting. Because, you know, when I heard about, of course, the whole adjuvant thing, you can argue all day long and has been argued for a long time. But when I heard about that neoadjuvant trial where they gave the TKI before chemo radiation, it was like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. And if you're saying, well, they're not even going to get the study done, let alone you're going to have to wait for it anyhow, I mean, is it something that ought to be considered outside a trial setting?
Yeah. You know, I think stage 3 patients are a little different because they are at such high risk for relapse. My threshold to try something outside of a protocol in a stage 3 patient is lower than, you know, a stage 1 or 2 patient who may be cured by surgery. You don't want to mess up their chance of cure, but...
Well, the other thing, I mean, I don't know what the likelihood is you'll mess up their chance of cure, but if you think about it, I mean, in terms of even just giving chemo radiation, shouldn't it be easier if you shrink the tumor down first?
Yeah. Yeah, you would think less toxic, less area of radiation.
Interesting. Anyhow, so unfortunately, she then explodes with CNS mets.
Yeah, they were small, and it was, you know, in the neighborhood of 5 to 6, so it could have been worse. But I met her at that time. She had never had an EGFR inhibitor.
How did she present? Did she have CNS symptoms?
She had very mild, vague symptoms that I'm not even sure were related to the metastases. You know, a little bit of dizziness, but to be honest, I think it was more incidentally discovered.
And no disease elsewhere?
And restaging was, everything else was quiet. No disease elsewhere.
So, and that's when she presented to you?
Yeah.
Now, if she were going to get radiation therapy at that point, would it have required whole brain?
Well, that probably depends on which radiation oncologist you talk to. Certainly, you know, I've seen some radiation oncologists who do gamma knife or cyber knife and will treat as many as 25 different mets in one setting. So I think that's really practice dependent. She probably would not have required whole brain. She had about 5 or 6 mets, and some of them were very, very tiny. So we actually thought we could probably, the size of them was conducive to giving oral therapy a try before starting radiation.